We're reading Psalm 13. If you're not sure where that is, open your Bible up roughly in the middle and you'll be not too far away. So I'll give you just a moment more to find that, Psalm 13, and then we'll read together. Okay, Psalm 13. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me.
Well, I don't need you to put up your hand or anything, but my question to you would be, have any of you thought about the songs you want at your funeral? I'm sure there's a few of you, older people perhaps, who've sort of even chosen, they're locked in. And I don't know, if you think that's morbid thinking or something, I want to tell you it's not. And I'll explain why. But when I'm talking about choosing songs for your funeral, I'm not talking about a song that people play to perhaps pay tribute to the person. You know, I hear Ed Sheeran's Supermarket Flowers is one of the popular ones these days. I'm talking about something else. Distinctly Christian songs, so that we can still express hope and trust and even praise our Lord God as we grieve. And it's no surprise Christians choose songs for their funerals, because Sunday by Sunday, we're singing songs, aren't we? And it sort of happens. We go, oh, yeah, I like that one. Oh, I sort of like that one. That'd be good. And the mental funeral playlist keeps going on. So I'm not sure if you started compiling your funeral playlist, but my point is, for those who belong to Christ, and this is incredible really, but for those that belong to Christ, songs of praise, songs of worshipping our Lord Saviour Jesus, yes, can be sung in the midst of our tears. Agony. And yet right alongside agony can be adoration. Now, that's what Psalm 13 gives us today. Now, we could say that Psalm 13 is a song of lament. Now, that's a distinctly Christian view, a Christian word, I guess. As we think about suffering, lament is a cry to God. It involves a complaint. It involves a call for him to act. And yet right there is praise. Okay, so let's have a look at this psalm. We can see that with this psalm, it's a psalm or prayer of David, King David. Do you notice that? It's actually those little words just at the very top of the psalm. It says, for the director of music, a psalm of David. And David's calling out to God. He's crying to God. And so this song, this prayer, this lament, it's kind of edgy. That's what laments do. They're edgy. They're not neat. They're not calm. And that's okay. It's okay for us to bring our prayers to God that aren't neat or aren't calm. And in our prayers, we can cry out to God. And that's better than giving God the silent treatment. Now, just have a look at verse 1 there again. Verse 1 where it says, how long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? You know, this cry, how long, Lord, it's two times in verse 1. It's another two times in verse 2. It's the psalm version of, Ming said it before, are we there yet? We cry to God when we're suffering. It's us not knowing the timetable of our pain, not knowing the timetable that God is working to, but we sure do wish God would bring this painful journey to its end. How long, Lord? And notice verse 1, David's cries to express his felt experience. God has abandoned him. That's how he's feeling. Will you forget me forever? Do you notice that word, forever? Will you forget me forever? For David, his felt experience is there's no stopping off point for this suffering. His question to God is, are you done with me? That David says, how long will you hide your face from me? Do you see it there? Now, I don't know if you remember or you're familiar with those words from Numbers chapter 6. I'll just read them. It says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. So for David, you know, to turn his face towards us is to bless us. So for David here, verse 1, feels cursed. How long will you hide your face from me? Do you ever feel that God's withdrawn his blessing from you? Do you ever feel cursed? It's a strong word, I know, but, you know, it's that idea that, you know, well, good things come to others while you're just in this pit of pain and suffering and loss. Now, it's valid to apply this to ourselves, but if this psalm of King David is primarily a psalm of King, well, it actually is primarily a psalm of King Jesus, the son of David. Jesus cried, how long? Jesus said at one point, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? In Hebrews 5, verse 7, Jesus says of Jesus, offered up his prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. Yet Jesus at the cross cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? So that was Jesus. And that can be us too. You have ongoing pain, physical pain. How long, Lord? Your marriage fell apart and you're lonely. How long, Lord? You know, the kids have, at the moment, they've fallen away. They've turned their backs on Jesus. How long, Lord? You suffer from depression. How long, Lord? You're copping some very awful things at work. How long, Lord? You lost a lot of money and now you're financially scrambling. How long, Lord? Are we there yet, Lord? God, can you just call it now and have this suffering done away with? Because, Lord, your blessing, your favor seems very far away. And notice what David says, verse 2, how long must I wrestle with my thoughts? You know, isn't it true? Isn't it, you know, when we go through hard times, you know, our thoughts just run in so many directions. Why is this happening to me? Or we condemn ourselves. I know why this is happening to me because I deserve it. Or why do they get away with this? Where's the justice? You know, our thoughts churn over and over. Fearful for losing work or our reputation, or we're fearful for our kids. We can't sleep. How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? So this is the raw, honest cry of Psalm 13. It's edgy. It's not neat. You could say it's a complaint, but it is a complaint to God. It's a cry out to God. It's not devoid of faith, but it is this massive wrestle that comes and springs from faith. So, church, we can cry like this too. How long, Lord, may just be the words you need to pray yourself. But let's see what happens next. Verse 3, and there's a beginning of a turn here. It moves from complaint to a request. It says, look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death and my enemy will say, I've overcome him and my foes will rejoice when I fall. This is a request for deliverance, for help, for vindication. You know, if David prayed before, why do you hide your face? Now it's turn to me and look to me, look at me. And that phrase there, give light to my eyes. Basically, it's a call on, you know, make me healthy, make me well, you know, bring a spark to my eyes because I can, that I would enjoy good things again. David requests this vindication in the midst of his enemies. Church, I don't know if you have enemies or if you, you know, if you think you have enemies. The Bible tells us the devil is our enemy. Jesus certainly had enemies. You know, while Jesus hung on a cross, he was beaten, he was scourged, he was cheered on as he was breathing his last and crucified. And after Jesus breathed his last, it is finished. You know, I reckon they would have said to themselves, we have overcome him. They would have rejoiced that this so-called Messiah had fallen. Goes to show they didn't see reality. They were blind to the Messiah, the Son of God, who would rise and defeat his enemies. But as the psalm shows us, we can move from complaint to request. Look on me. Turn your face to me. Answer me, Lord my God. And we can now move from complaint to request to the last part of this psalm, and this is where we're going to spend most of our time, which is a declaration of trust. And this is verse 5. And now turn, have a look in your Bibles. Verse 5, but I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I'll sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. Now, here's the thing. We need to realize there is no sense in this psalm that suffering has come to an end. There is no sign in this psalm that his hardship has come to its completion. There's no hint that the diagnosis of cancer has turned to remission. There's no sense that the abuser has faced his justice. There's no indication that loneliness has been replaced by a relationship. There's no change that a hard marriage has become easy. But, and verse 5 gives us the word, but it's this turn to trust in God yet again. It's this active decision to trust despite the circumstances. I see what I see, but I claim what I believe. This word trust, you know, it's so important in the Christian life. You know, to put your trust in Jesus who died for you, to trust that Jesus rose again, to trust that through Jesus I have a forever relationship with God. But in the Christian life, you soon find out that trust needs to be applied again and again and again, especially in suffering. You know, Jesus displayed supreme trust himself. 1 Peter 2 says, when they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. Jesus trusted. We can trust too. You know, I think of trusting in God like painting the Sydney Harbour Bridge. I don't know if you heard that story, but apparently they're always painting the Harbour Bridge. They get to the end and they start all over again. You lay one coat down, you just got to lay down another one. When Jesus returns, our faith will be replaced by sight, but until then, we lay down our trust again and again and again. Many of you know this, don't you? It's the way it works, this continual active trust. You know, I see the circumstances, I'm hurting, I'm calling out to you, Lord, please help me, but I put my trust in you again. Now, that's the 3 points. Complaint, request, trust. But I want to spend a bit more time on trust by going into just a little bit more detail on really 3 affirmations of trust that come through in verses 5 and 6. And this is what I'm going to finish with today. I want to break this down just a little bit more. Now, look in your Bibles, in Psalm, have a look at verse 5. Here's the first, that I trust in your unfailing love. I trust in your unfailing love, or maybe in your version, I trust in your steadfast love. This is about trust in the past record of God that he's been unfailing, faithful. He's been faithful in the past. He will be faithful to me now in my present. Unfailing love. It's covenant-keeping love. Christian, you look back on your life. Look back on God's unfailing love to you and the circumstances of your life. Look to your salvation with the cross of Jesus. God loves you. And David, as David would have done, look to God's actions in the past. You know, the Exodus, God protected, God provided. Look to God's actions in the past. That he's a covenant-keeping God. Now, Christopher Ash, in his commentary on Psalm 13, says, I feel your humbleness. I feel my humbleness, but I trust your covenant. I'll put it like this: when I was 18, I thought I was in love. You know, back then, you know how in the 80s teenagers showed their love. We made a mixtape. That's what we did. We spent a lot of time just making the perfect compilation of songs that we would hand over to our boyfriend, girlfriend, and that would show our undying devotion to this other. So, you know, show how much we love them. But handing over a mixtape is not unfailing love. Unfailing love is more about marriage, you know, a track record after 30, 40, 50, 60 years of being there, always being there. And that's more like the picture of God, covenant. As we go through pain, we need to rehearse and remember what God has been like, but I trust in your unfailing love. That's the first affirmation from a trusting heart. Here's the second one, still verse 5. Have a look there. My heart rejoices in your salvation. Now, this is even more specific. It's having our heart zero in on God's salvation, how God has worked out his plan of redemption for us. See, in suffering, we don't know God's plans. We cry out, how long, Lord? But because of the cross, our lament can include trust, because God's ultimate plan just has to involve salvation. God's plan for us just has to involve his love for us. It just has to. You know, at the start of this year, we looked at Romans 8, a very treasured part of the Bible for Christians for good reasons, and especially a treasured part of the Bible for suffering Christians. And so in your Bibles, I'd love you to turn over to Romans chapter 8. Let's just go over there now. Now, flick over to the New Testament. Romans 8, verse 35. One of the most treasured parts of Romans 8, a treasured chapter in the Bible, Romans 8, verse 35, where it says, Romans 8, 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wow. How breathtaking is that? How wonderful is that? So for God's people, as we suffer, suffering is always wrapped in God's redemptive plans. In suffering, it can seem like God's forgotten. It can feel like he's forgotten. And in lament, we express that, but we also choose to trust. We take our grief and frustration and pain and wrap it in the hope of the gospel. I think of a funeral that Kirsty and I went to many years ago, a friend in Sydney, a baby died, just a heart-wrenching thing. Yet we sung a song to wrap our grief in the promises of salvation. The song was called Resurrection. It's an old song now, but it goes, grace to the death-bound from our risen King, resurrection, sins forgiven, where's death's victory, where's death's sting? See, in their heart-wrenching grief, they were expressing their trust. So we've got all these different aspects of trust, trusting the Lord's unfailing love, rejoice in your salvation. Here's the third thing, affirmation, the third affirmation from a trusting heart, and that is singing and praising God who's been good to me. Have a look, verse 6. I will sing the Lord's praise for he has been good to me. Think about the pathway that this psalm's taken. The trajectory of this prayer begins with, how long, Lord? Are we there yet? Will you forget me forever? And it ends with, I will sing the Lord's praise for he has been good to me. And remember, none of his circumstances has changed. And yet God calls out, I'll sing the Lord's praise for he has been good to me. You realize what David is doing here. He's come to the conclusion, despite his pain, despite what God has taken from him, he knows that God has given him so much more. And that makes me think of Jesus, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Jesus lived by faith. He looked ahead, trusting that he'd be given so much more, trusting that he'd be raised and ascended and seated at the right hand of his Father in heaven, for the joy set before him endured the cross. The Psalms don't sugarcoat life, the Christian life, but this psalm doesn't finish with, resign, grit your teeth, Judy, but with singing, praise and joy. Today we're going to finish with that song that was introduced for us last Sunday. It's called How Long, O Lord? How Long? Psalm 13. It's a good fit for today. And some of the words go, as we're about to sing soon, our foes and enemies rejoice, injustice seems to reign. Lord, we are shaken and we are losing strength. How long, O Lord, how long? But we trust your steadfast love, your grace will be our song. Church, with whatever you're facing, but we can trust in our Lord's steadfast love. We can sing his praises because through Jesus, he's poured out his blessings for us. He's adopted us as his own. We have the sure hope that he will take us to glory. I've referred to her before, but and some of you know her story, Joni Erickson-Tada. Joni Erickson-Tada was 17 years of age when in a diving accident she became a quadriplegic, paralysed. She says of those initial days, she said, I felt as though God had smashed me underfoot like a cigarette. She says in those very first weeks, thrashing her head on the pillow, hoping to break her neck at a high level to end her misery. When she got out of hospital, she refused to do anything to get out of bed. She said to her sister, close the curtains, turn off the light, shut the door, and let me die. And then she finally prayed, finally cried out, God, if I can't die, please show me how to live. And she says she asked her sister to prop her in front of a Bible and holding a mouth stick, she discovered passages like the Psalms. Joni writes, I was amazed to learn that God welcomes our laments when we are in pain, that our frustrations and questions do not fluster him. And she learned that God's Spirit was guiding her to hope. Hope in Jesus, trusting that despite all that she'd gone through, God dearly loves her. So, church, as we suffer and as we grieve and as we lose and as we feel frustration, we can take up the words of Psalm 13. Let Psalm 13 be the way that we pray when we need to. How long, Lord? But also we can sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to us. We're going to pray, and I'm just going to pray the words of Psalm 13, and then we're going to sing Psalm 13 too. So let's pray. How long, Lord, will you forget us forever? How long will you hide your face from us? How long must I wrestle with our thoughts and day after day have sorrow in our hearts? How long will our enemies triumph over us? Look on us and answer, Lord our God. Give light to our eyes, or we'll sleep in death, and our enemies will say, I've overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But we trust in your unfailing love. Our heart rejoices in your salvation. We will sing to the Lord's praise, for you have been good to us. Amen.